Show. So thanks so much for listening today. We've got a really interesting show. I have, starting at 6:30, part one of my three-part special on The Church, an extraordinary band from Sydney, Australia, members who live in far-flung areas of the globe now. I've raved about them in the past. It's very easy to rave about this band. It's such incredible pedigree and a great history of 30 years worth of amazing recording. And what I've done is contact all members of the band and secured phone interviews with three of them: Steve Kilby, Peter Coppice, and Marty Wilson Piper, the three guitarists. And today we're going to start with part one of the series with the interview with Steve Kilby that Sarah Lapsley, local musician and CITR volunteer, recorded with Steve. So that's really exciting, and that's going to be coming up at 6:30. So I wanted to press on with the Canadian tunes to start with. Normally we do the Australian first, but today let's play some local music here from Vancouver. And this is a really exciting addition to the music library here. Synthcake debut EP from Synthcake, six tracks on it. It's a big EP. Synthcake is a local band featuring Lana on vocals and synth. I believe she's a jazz trained vocalist and a wonderful lady, and really cool tunes. They do play live. I haven't had a chance to see them yet, but I've heard good things. So let's hear Synthcake, the first track off their debut EP, and the song is called Music Ophelia.
Music Ophelia, na 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 na. Music Ophelia, Music Ophelia, na 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 na. I risk my well-being just to play with it, to learn its tangled ways. We'll dance the
tell me everything I need to know. Turning thread into a verse, we sit and watch the fall and turn to earth. Quietly as autumn comes, the days are getting shorter one by one. Waiting here for you, spinning on a shelf. I'm wasting my time waiting for myself. To hide my hands behind my back, my fingertips, they hold a secret. I have to hold it lightly though, be very careful not to break it. Go and move along. When I'm fast asleep, it flutters in my palm, and by the time I wake up, it has gone. Slips away, slips away. Slips away, slips away. Slips away, slips away.
Become a friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will net you discounts downtown at 212 Productions, Beat Street Records, Blim, Dream Apparel, The Fall Tattooing, Heart and Soul Clothing Incorporated, Hits Boutique, Pacific Cinema Tech, Scratch Records, True Value Vintage, Vinyl Records, and Zoo Shop.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the Sub on UBC campus, or visit us online at CITR.
The Strand at the Australian Canadian Music Show here on CITR 101.9 FM. And you may be listening live anywhere in the world, and I hope you are listening, because this week is part one of my special on The Church, the band from Australia. And that's coming up at 6:30. We're going to start featuring this week the interview that Sarah Lapsley recorded with Steve Kilby. But a little bit more Canadian music before that. We heard there three beautiful tracks from female-fronted groups here in Vancouver. At the top of the set with Synthcake, their debut EP, Musicophilia, and played you the title track, Musicophilia. Extraordinary vocals there from Lana. Definitely a band to check out live. I plan to here in the city when I get a chance. And secondly, some more beautiful vocals by Kellarissa. Kellarissa has an album out called Moon of Neptune. And she's very busy. She, of course, has been recently part of Destroyer's touring band and has released this album recently. I believe she's also on the CITR Pop Alliance compilation Volume 2, which is something that everyone should own, anyone in the city, definitely. And finally, we heard Catherine Calder, another Vancouverite and, of course, member of the New Pornographers. And we heard a track of her album called Are You Mother? Are You My Mother? And the track was called Slip Away. So we're into the Canadian music up front, which is not what we normally do on the show, but let's keep going, because we need to get ready for the Big Church special coming up from 6:30. Lots of always interesting stuff happening here in Vancouver. Tomorrow is the great big Greenpeace 40th anniversary show. It's a big festival called the Rainbow Warrior Festival. We're a very well-titled festival there at Jericho Park in Vancouver. And I'm just going to read you a little bit from the press release. Founded in Vancouver on September 15th, 1971, Greenpeace has grown to become the world's largest independent environmental organization. Our commitment to peace and sustainability has inspired 2.9 million supporters in over 40 countries, and we are supported by the belief that activism is essential to protecting the planet. This fall, we celebrate 40 years of bearing witness and promoting practical solutions to environmental destruction alongside our courageous activists and dedicated supporters. We celebrate the launch of the most environmental ship we've ever sailed, the Rainbow Warrior 3. So that's the Greenpeace 40th anniversary birthday, and it will be held at Jericho Park tomorrow, and featuring some really great acts, and I wanted to play you two of those who you could catch tomorrow. First up, Root System, a favourite of mine, and also Buckman Co., up-and-coming singer-songwriter here in the city who's been creating a lot of waves at the moment with his amazing, powerful songs and performances. Let's start with Root System and one of my favourite tracks from last year, this year, I guess, These Days off the Earth album, and then Buckman Co., and then we'll be getting on Quick Smart into the Church special. So here we go. You can catch Root System tomorrow at the Greenpeace concert.
I'm home for a while, but not for long. I'm gonna fill up my soul and sing this new song. I'm heading south to the place my heart longs to be. Times are tough, you gotta keep your head strong. Remember, there's light around the bend. I'm hurting myself to the place my heart longs to be. These days, no, I don't want to be forgotten.
while, but not for long. I'm gonna fill up my soul and sing this new song. I'm heading south to the place my heart longs to be. Times are tough, you gotta keep your head, hold the vision strong. Remember there is light around the bend. I'm heading south to the place my heart longs to be.
Only one moment to be living in.
Cromwell's When You're Gone, available on iTunes, CD Baby, and other online retailers. Find more info at cromwell.net.
Every day I try, always on the fly. How much money does it take to buy everything you need? It's all the same. I'm the one to blame, it's not a game. I'd like to move around your frame.
Deception, passion, romance, revenge. Is this the story of your life? If not, liven it up with Shakespeare. There's still time to enter the world of the greatest English playwright ever, Under the Tents at Bard on the Beach. There are matinee and evening performances to September 24th. Good seats are available for all four productions, and the evening youth price is just $30. Get your reserved seats now, online at bardonthebeach.org, or call the box office 604-739-0559.
And we're back here on CITR 101.9 FM or online wherever you are in the world. And this is a very special day. We're just about to get to part one of my special on the church. But the songs you heard there, two acts who are playing at the Greenpeace 40th anniversary special festival tomorrow at Jericho Park here in Vancouver. You heard Root System. They're a really amazing band, a three-piece featuring a Canadian frontman, an Australian upright bassist and a Hawaiian drummer. Very, very tight, very interesting sounding roots reggae music. And you heard These Days, which is the single off of The Earth. And also playing tomorrow is Buckman Co. I played for you the first track off By the Mountain's Feet, his latest album, and the song is called Not So Far-Fetched. Again, a perfect artist for a consciousness-raising event like the Greenpeace anniversary special. Speaking of consciousness raising, I think the church is one of those bands that definitely the word transcendent is a useful descriptor for trying to encapsulate what their sound is like. And they are a band from Australia, formed in Sydney in 1980 and still exist to this day. And they've had a rocky ride at times, but throughout their 30-year history have consistently put out just peerless and amazing music. And I've had the fortune to see them play live a few times, first in Australia a number of years ago when they were doing an acoustic tour and came through my hometown of Canberra. And secondly, I actually had a really remarkable running into them in London, England, on the way to Canada. Here I stayed at a hostel in the Soho district in London and was walking around bleary-eyed, having just been off a big plane ride, stumbling through Soho, and I see on a chalkboard the church. And I couldn't believe my luck. The Church, the band that I've always had such a longing for, and I was able to get in halfway through the set, and it was packed, and they let me watch from the top of the stairs. And I've always kept in touch with what they're doing musically, and actually was able to meet them in person in Seattle on their recent tour, and that was an extraordinary experience. And I got in touch with the band, and now a number of months later I've had the opportunity to speak to three of them live on the phone and pre-record some interviews. So we're going to be featuring three parts to this church special. Today is part one, where we're going to be featuring an interview that Sarah Lapsley recorded with Steve Kilby. Steve Kilby is the principal lyricist and songwriter for the band. The first couple of albums, Steve pretty much did all the songwriting. These days, of course, it's divided between all members of the band: Steve Kilby, Peter Coppice, and Marty Wilson Piper, who are both on guitars, and Tim Powles, who's on drums. And he's been in the band since 1994, and he really kickstart a new phase of the church. And it was really great to actually meet him and talk to him in person. But I've got three interviews with the three other members of the band already recorded and being edited, and the first one's ready today. So we're going to get into that very soon. But first up, let's start with some music from the church. And I was thinking I'd play... Let's start right where we are. There's an extraordinary amount of music to play from the church. I guess there's a few best ofs around and recent reissues, but I have right here album. The album is called Untitled Number 23. I played a few tracks from this earlier in the year, and so let's start where the church is at this present moment in time, and then drift back a little bit to some of the other albums before listening to the Steve Kilby interview. This is Dead Man's Hand, which is a single off Untitled number 23. This is The Church.
Yeah. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, daily grassroots global unembedded international independent news hour. And this is CITR 101.9 FM.
And this is Stranded, the Australian-Canadian music show, live from CITR 101.9 FM and wherever you are online. And don't forget the show blog, of course. Go to Google and type in OZSTRANDED, Oz Stranded, for a full set list each week, podcast, and a video clip. So this is part one of my three-part series featuring The Church and three separate interviews with three members of the band. This week is Steve Kilby kicking off the special, and Sarah Lapsley, who is a local musician here in Vancouver, most notable for her project Vancouver Nights, caught up with Steve. She is a big fan of The Church and has recorded a fantastic interview. We've broken it up into three parts, and Sarah's actually going to be popping into the studio shortly to talk a little bit about her own interest in this band and how she came across Steve and what she thought of chatting with him. And it's a really fascinating chat. First up, she's going to be talking about the recent show The Church did at the Sydney Opera House. This is definitely a peak moment in their career. So I'm sure listeners would know of the iconic Sydney Opera House in the Sydney Harbour, which is just an extraordinary venue, and I can only imagine the pristine sound that they would get there. Basically, The Church celebrated their 30th anniversary with a special show that they called A Psychedelic Symphony, and it occurred on April 10th, 2001. And they were accompanied by George Ellis, the conductor, and the Sydney and the Symphony Orchestra of the University of Sydney. And the concert was filmed for a special DVD, which I guess is being edited at the moment. So that would be wonderful to see. I wasn't able to be there, and I sure wish I had, but maybe another time. So let's listen to what Sarah had to talk to Steve about, and she'll be in soon, live, I believe. So let's kick it off with part one of her interview with Steve Kilby of The Church.
Tell us about that.
Oh, okay. we had, like, I think it was like a 70-piece orchestra, and it was the New South Wales University Orchestra. And we sort of did a selection of all our, right across our career, and we did as a two-act sort of number. And for the second part of the show, for some reason, I'm not exactly sure, the orchestra dressed up in funny and silly clothes. And for the first part of the show, they were dressed just in a very somber black. But the orchestrations themselves were usually pretty good. Some of them were amazing. Some of them, when they joined in, they were suddenly when, like, you're playing a song and then suddenly, like, 30 violins join in, playing these incredibly powerful, fast little parts, all interlocking with the guitars. And then the cellos are stabbing away underneath, and the violas are droning the notes. And suddenly that joins in on something. It's like the whole place, the whole opera house picked up and levitated 2 feet in the air.
Nice.
And to me, anyway, that's the power of music. It's sort of irresistible. You can kind of, you can see the guy, I mean, the guy who wrote those parts, the conductor, I mean, he knows how it's done. I know how it's done. The guys in the band, we know how. But still, when the thing happens, and when you have all those people cooperating and bending their will towards this effort, and what it is these all these incredibly fast, powerful parts all locking up with each other like a huge, giant clockwork machine, or even one might say it's like music of the spheres. It's like the cosmos in a kind of a musical microcosm, and all these parts locking up and suddenly you can sort of, it becomes mathematical, it becomes kind of spiritual, and kind of a, to me, playing it, and I could see people in the audience, when the orchestra and the band hit these peaks, and it wasn't all night long, but when we did hit them, it was like an emotional overload for the people, and you can see it, and then they sit there, and then they have a cosmic experience, because their brains just can't take that much pleasure, particularly if it's like, it's their favourite song they're hearing as well, and they've been hearing it for 20 years, they've been waiting to hear it, and suddenly there it is, and there's this huge, fucking loud orchestra sort of chiming in. That didn't happen all night. Sometimes it was like, oh yeah, there's the church, and there's an orchestra playing along behind them. You know what I mean? And, oh, that's pretty good. But other times, it really happened. And when it happened, it's just a, like, total, yeah, like a sort of a, you know, like an orgasmic experience.
Sounds well worth the ticket price. For a cosmic orgasmic experience?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, no, it definitely was.
Thank you. to go. You don't suppose there'd be room in me somewhere for me? I think I just need someone's words to reassure me. I don't blame any of you, and I don't blame myself.
Friend of CITR and receive great discounts at businesses around Vancouver.
Your Friends of CITR card will get you discounts on Main Street at Antisocial Skateboard Shop, Devil May Wear,
Woo Vintage,
The Kiss Store, Lucky's Comics, Neptune Records, Red Cat Records, The Regional Assembly of Text, RX Comics, Temple of the Modern Girl,
Flaming Angels Boutique,
and The Wallflower Modern Diner.
Pays to be a friend of CITR. To find out more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or visit us online at citr.ca.
And we're back here with Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show, live on CITR 101.9 FM, and the extra special show, the first part of the three-part church series. And first up, week one, is the exclusive interview with Steve Kilby, recorded by Sarah Lapsley, who is a local musician and master's student currently. And just going back there, I've played a number of church songs. So way back at the start, we actually played Pangaea from the Untitled No. 23 album, which is their brand new album. Also, we heard Louisiana, which was a single off the Hologram of Baal record. And then in that last set there, we heard a track from Heyday, the album Heyday. So we're going back in time here. The song was called Columbus. So that's from way back in the 80s. Of course, the band has been around for 30 years now. So Heyday is 1985, a real classic and favourite of mine. We heard Columbus from that record. And finally, you heard a Steve Kilby solo track That was Song of Solomon off an album called The Slow Crack, which we actually have in vinyl here in the CITR library, which is really great to come across. So Steve Kilby, and so we heard the first part of the interview that Sarah did with Steve, and he spoke in glowing terms about the Opera House gig, the 30th anniversary Psychedelic Symphony. And Sarah is actually right here in the studio with me. She is a local musician, most famous for her work with Vancouver Knights. Hello, Sarah.
Hi, Matt.
Thanks so much for actually having been able to come in today. And thanks for doing the interview with Steve. It sounds wonderful. And we have two more parts to play. How did you come across the church?
Well, through this show, I was introduced to the church. And then they were coming on tour here to Seattle. But I was starting my brand new job like the same day or the next day, so I couldn't get away for the show, so I was really disappointed about that. But I started listening and checking out Steve's website, thetimebeing.com, and it's just a really great, colorful website with tons of stuff to look at. He's got videos and paintings and poems and music, and so I started kind of posting as part of the online community, so I got kind of tapped in that way, and Steve is very interactive with his fans, so it's fun. You feel like you kind of have a little bit, you know somebody a little bit.
Hmm. So but then, of course, previously too, I mean, way back, you heard about them prior in the early 90s or 80s even?
I didn't really know who they were. It was like the very cool kids listened to the church, and it was almost like I wasn't cool enough to listen to the church, and I was a little bit young, I think, but no, it was only recently, just 2011, that I really got into them.
Yeah, well, and a flourishing love of the band has come forward, and this great interview with Steve, and it must have been great to chat with him.
Yeah, he's fun to talk to.
Yeah, well, we've listened to one part of your interview so far. The second part is this is really great. This is Sarah talking to Steve about his latest project, which is a David Neil project. Now, explain to listeners exactly what this is, this pseudonym.
Well, on the website, he's got quite a few side projects, and I'm kind of confused about them all, but he started talking about David Neil. And the story that I picked up from the website was that he went on tour with this guy, David Neil, like prior to beginning with the church, and that this David Neil guy was like this completely out of control, druggy, but like super charismatic, and women fell at his feet, and he was always getting into trouble, and he was kind of this tortured genius. And they even made videos where this sort of David Neil character is in it. And the story is that he died without really making an album, but he left some 2-inch tapes. And so Steve and Rick Mamie from Brian Jonestown Massacre like kind of pieced them together and then released it as a homage to David Neil.
Hmm.
And I started picking up more information, like David Neil is Canadian and born in Saskatoon, and that he died this very bizarre death in an airplane that crashed at the same time as he was ODing, at the same time as the husband of one of his mistresses burst in to kill him. And I'm quite gullible.
What a rock and roll tale, it sounds like.
So I was really just kind of piecing together this story in my mind, and so I decided I wanted... And I mean, then he posted the songs that they completed, and they were just incredible songs. Like, I thought they were like Spaceman 3 songs, kind of heavier, and so I wanted to ask Steve about David Neil, so I did in this interview clip. We're going to play.
Okay, this is really interesting. We're going to play that right after this. We'll be right back with the Steve Kilby special on Stranded.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Okay, we're back here on Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show, and we're here with Sarah Lapsley in the studio, and she just spoke with Steve Kilby of The Church, the band from Australia, and we're playing the second part of her interview with Steve and David Neil, right, Sarah?
Yeah, it's about his project with David Neil.
Okay, so let's hear what Steve has to say about this really fascinating new project of his, the David Neil project.
So you went from this kind of high of playing, you know, the Sydney Opera House to another kind of tour just recently, right, in July?
Yeah.
So tell me a little bit about that.
It is. Me and this character, Ricky Miami, who's in, does loads of things. I guess his main thing is playing in the Brian Jonestown Massacre. We sort of got this guy, David Neil, and got this record, and we did a little tour selling and playing these David Neil songs, and it was kind of the opposite of the opera house. It was kind of clubs and pubs and bars, and some of them were great, and some of them were amazing, and some of them were a real pain in the ass, well, I wish I hadn't done, and certainly as I walked out in these tiny, grubby rooms with nobody there, the irony of just having played the Opera House to, you know, 2,500 people, sold out, standing room only crowd, sort of did occur to me, and I did think, what the fuck am I, am I doing this? So, you know, you've got to take everything on. But there is an energy and a kind of a, there is a certain aesthetic to be found in doing those things, with some of the gigs we did were absolutely transcendental, and other ones just made me angry that I was standing there doing it, this, you know, this bloody dive, and then other ones were sort of somewhere in the middle. So it's never always, it's rarely always just good. At where I am, if I was just a bit more popular, life might be a bit more easy, you know what I mean? It's like I always had, if I had more people buying my records, I had more people coming to my shows, if I just sort of edge it up that next level, it would be a lot more comfortable. But then, you know, then when you're on that level, you want to sort of edge up to the next, and that's the nature of the music business.
And it's gone through a lot of changes, you know, in the last while, but...
It sure has. It's completely different. Do you want me to rave on about that? I'd rather talk about aesthetic...
I'd rather talk... Yeah, because...
Seriously, but I'm like a... I'm a kind of like a... you know that movie, The Magician's Apprentice?
No.
You know, with The Sorcerer's Apprentice, where Mickey Mouse tells the bucket to sort of clean the floor, and then the bucket can't stop. I'm a bit like that. If you sort of get me going on one subject, likely to have a 20-minute monologue.
Well, I was wanting to ask about...
The interview's over, and you know what I mean? So you've got to be careful what you sort of point me, in which direction you point me.
Well, I was curious about David Neil because it's been a labor of love for you, and I wasn't sure the story, and considering he's Canadian, maybe you could just tell us a little bit.
He's Canadian, yeah. He is Canadian, and boy, Saskatoon, you know, it's a lonely place to grow up in those long, dark, cold winters, and you know, what could he do but to play a guitar, and, you know, as soon as he could, he got out of there, but I guess not many Canadians really know much about him. Maybe that's a good thing.
So how long was he active as a musician?
He died when he was, 24?
Wow.
So, I don't know, 5 years.
And at what point did you connect with him? So you were young as well.
You know he's not a real character, don't you?
Yeah, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, he's not a real person.
Are you serious? Sorry, I'm, like, laughing. No, I totally believed it. I mean, that makes sense because I'm a completely gullible person. So you've created sort of an alter ego? You're laughing at me right now.
I'm not laughing at you at all because I sort of never know. Sometimes I lead people on and tell them all these stories about him, and then I feel bad if people start to go, hang on a minute, what I mean? I don't want people to think I am laughing at them, and that's actually why I'm laughing. I'm laughing at sort of the point. It's like if you've gone home with a woman from a bar. And at what point does she say to you, look, actually, I'm a transsexual? It's a bit like this happens in every interview. So suddenly I realize I do have to say that David Neal is actually not a real character.
So you wrote all those songs then for the Wilderness Years?
Yeah. Well, me and Ricky wrote those songs, yeah.
Oh, well, they're marvelous songs. You know, I just thought, well, this guy David Neal is like a genius.
Right. Well, I'll tell you one strange thing about it, though. The more I play those songs, and every now and then when I listen to the record, and with everything about it, the more I'm starting to get an idea who David Neal really is or was. And it's like, suddenly it's like, it's just very strange. The whole thing is strange, and it's really led me to, as does the whole, as everything about the internet and all, everything really leads one to ask the nature of reality. I don't know. Anyway, David Neal, I feel his presence so strongly that if I made another record, I think it'd be even easier, and I think he would be sort of, whatever it is, it's sort of like we seem to have woken some feeling that wanted us to do this. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like, of course we wrote the songs and stuff, but there was some supernatural overall guiding spirit that made this record come out like this, and it's got sort of so much freshness and sort of naivety and sort of, but it's not like a naive painter who is going, oh, I'm going to be naive. It's like genuine naivety that comes through in the record, even though I'm a jaded old rocker, and I'd say Ricky's a jaded, not so old rocker. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Somehow we conjured up a record of sort of that people would listen to, and when they hear a bit of the story, they kind of think, oh, there is a David Neal, and that's quite successful, I think.
I said, I'm sorry, child. fucked up and free, dissolving slow and fast as thick. Oh, my baby and I are trying to die before we fly to the sea.
Zebras need to be on their guard.
Tales from a Barstool and Winnie Cooper present Los Angeles indie electro DJs Tribe of Zebras, Friday, September 16th at the Electric Owl Social Club. There will also be appearances by burlesque sass queen Lola Frost and DJs Paige Manzi and Tyler Quarles. Learn about extremely discounted advance tickets at winniecooper.net and talesfromabarstool.com. Tribe of Zebras, September 17th at the Electric Owl Social Club.
So we're back here with Strand of the Australian-Canadian Music Show and part one of the three-part series on the church. And today featuring the Sarah Lapsley interview with Steve Kilby, the lyricist from the band. And you just heard there two tracks from the David Neal project, the Steve Kilby David Neal project. And we heard Sarah ask all about that. And it turns out he's a fictional character from Saskatoon.
Duped.
And speaking of dupe, doodaloop, Nadwa, the human serviette, today, I said, Nadwa, I'm talking to Sarah. And she said, Sarah might know a gentleman named Mark Clymer, who was in a band called Sisters Lovers, who somehow disappeared to Saskatoon.
Yes, Mark Kleiner, known as Klines, and the band was Sister Lovers. And then he disbanded that and formed Jungle. So he was like a local kind of legend. And it's funny because he kind of is a bit David Neal-like, I guess, but he had a lot of charisma and like a real rock star kind of character with a real freshness. I think Kilby was talking about how David Neal was fresh. So he went back to Saskatoon and then I think became like a Lutheran minister or something.
Joined a church, in inverted commas.
Yeah, he joined a church, but actually I think he's back in Vancouver, but I haven't seen hide nor hair of him for years. But he was a quite a wild character. I remember he totally had this obsession with Nico Case, and he bought her this mink coat. He saved as like money and bought her this mink coat and presented it to her. And I don't think she was all that like impressed by it, but
Well, maybe
that
he was
back in the day.
Maybe he was some kind of incarnation of the mysterious David Neal from Saskatoon.
Yeah. It's,
anyway,
the spirit has fled, and a new Holy Spirit has.
And landed in some great music there that Steve Kilby has created. So anyway, we have one more part of your interview that you recorded with Steve, and this is a great part where he's talking about creative inspiration, because, of course, he's quite the Renaissance man in the real traditional sense, a painter, a poet, songwriter. So what can you tell me about this part of the interview?
Yeah, I've heard him talk about creativity before, and it was really impressive. Like, he's someone who's really stayed sort of connected to his muse, and unlike other people who've kind of become decrepit, you know, he could have gone that way with his drug addiction, but he actually is like this picture of health and, you know, is involved in all these mediums and still really active and still really youthful artistically. So, and he's very conscious of his creative process. So it's nice to hear him talk about it. So.
Yeah, it's very fresh.
Totally fresh.
Exactly. So let's hear this last part of the interview, Steve Kilby talking to Sarah Lapsley all about creativity. This is really great. Listen up.
And I very much kind of believe in that you sort of, you have access to this, that an artist sort of has access to this huge well of human experience. And that's why all the time people have been writing to me and going, oh, I didn't know anybody else thought that thought, or I can't believe that you've thought this, you've said this thought out loud that I've always thought. And I used to think that about the people who, like David, like especially Mark Bolan and David Bowie, when I was sort of in a susceptible age in my teenage years, constantly kept knocking me, flooring me, how they were kind of saying that, or they were sort of they weren't so much, it wasn't much so much a philosophy, but it would just be like small tiny things that would be in their lyrics that would kind of have an incredible resonance with me that would really impress me. So somehow artists dip into this sort of huge well and pull stuff out, and when other people come across that, it sort of really does the trick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like you seem very tuned into that well spring, and so it keeps you vital in terms of all the different things that you do, from painting to writing and poetry and your music and so on.
The thing is that the well is easily accessible, but most people have kind of sealed themselves, that they've stopping it from getting in, and the well is all around waiting to burst into them, but they've kind of made a little wall and they can't seem to get into it at will. I guess that's why it's the sort of collective unconscious or subconscious or whatever it is. It's like, it's not accessible by will. If it was, then everyone would be fucking Picasso or Rembrandt or someone, or J.R.R. Tolkien, if everybody could just jump in there. But they can't. So what happens is there's sort of us sort of loony artist types, and believe me, everyone who's doing anything that's worth thinking about is kind of quite a lunatic. And sort of we're out there and sort of trying to, or getting through to it, and sort of excavating little bits that we can, and kind of catching it and bringing it back out for everyone to have a look at, or the people who like that kind of thing. Or maybe it's not actually down from it, it's more like you're going up into some sort of ether.
So there we have it, the Steve Kilby chat that Sarah Lapsley did on the phone. Steve was talking, I guess, from his home in Bondi in Sydney, and that was all about creativity. And I've read him elsewhere say that my cuppeth overfloweth. He's very fortunate to be able to tap into that wellspring of inspiration. And there he articulated how, I guess, he does that.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, thanks for having me in, Matt. I appreciate the opportunity to talk on CITR.
Oh, no problem. It's great to have you on and contribute to this special. So we do have two more parts of the special coming up. I've already recorded interviews with Peter Coppice and Marty Wilson Piper, the two guitarists from the church. So they're ready to be edited in the suite. So in the coming weeks, we'll feature those. So today you heard Sarah talking to Steve to kick off this celebration of the church. And, of course, I'm sure they'll be back in North America. They have lots of fans here. I saw them in Seattle not too long ago, and it was one of the greatest nights of my life in terms of music seeing and watching. So let's leave with one last track. This is one of my favourites. It's track one off the album Uninvited Like the Clouds, 2006 release, and this is a song from that Steve wrote about Bondi Beach, where he lives.
What song is that?
Oh, the song is called Block.
Oh, because Day 5 is my favorite song.
Oh, Day 5.
But if you've got that one ready to go, then
Well, let's see how long that... 5 minutes. All right, I guess, yeah, Day 5. Let's play Day 5.
Yay,
why not?
Thank you.
And since Sarah's here in the studio, thanks so much for listening, everybody. This has been Stranded, the Australian-Canadian Music Show, and we're leaving with one last track from The Church, Steve Kilby on vocals, who we heard interviewed today. This is the song called Track 5.
Day 5.
Day 5, sorry.
This kind of thousands of years. The priests have predicted you would come. You with your death that appears in no photograph. We watch the night sky. We bickered like fools amongst ourselves. We sought protection in artificial youth. This kind of world started.
Quietly.